Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 19th of October. It's our open line for the month of October, and we're welcoming your phone call suggestions of programs you'd like to hear from 9 to 11 here on the network. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. We want to tell you more, too, and let me do that a little bit later this hour. We're going to Washington, D.C. When we went to Springfield, we took a poll of those of you who were on the buses and said, where would you like to go next? And overwhelmingly, you said Washington, D.C. We're going to Washington, D.C. and Gettysburg. What a trip coming up this spring. So I'll tell you more about that as we approach the end of this hour. Please join us. We're going to have a good time. All right, let's go to phone calls. And we start with Brad. Brad is calling from Whiting. Hi, Brad.
Hi. Yeah, I'd like you to have on Cenk Uygur. He is the host of a show on the internet called TheYoungTurks.com. And he would be a mostly progressive commentator. He comments on the day's events every day on the internet. He's gotten over 300 hits so far, so he's extremely popular on the web, especially with young people. And he's a frequent guest host on MSNBC. Tonight he'll be subbing for Keith Olbermann at 7 p.m. on MSNBC. And he's very passionate. He's very funny. He's very smart. And he really makes the case that the country is heading in the wrong direction with the Tea Party movement and all this extreme right-wing ideology. And he's going to be in Wisconsin, actually, in Madison, October 30th. He's going to be giving a speech and accepting an award. And so I think it would be great to have him on your show before he makes his Madison appearance here in Wisconsin. I think he has a bright future in the media, and he's just a very entertaining guy to watch, and he really makes a passionate and intelligent case for progressivism.
Okay. Well, he's certainly on his way to stardom if he's filling in for a major host on MSNBC, right?
Oh, yeah. He'll have a show on MSNBC probably within the next year or two, I would assume.
Okay.
I think he's going to take off once people get exposed to him.
Thanks, Brad.
Yeah, sure.
Be a good suggestion probably for one of our All Things Political programs. Don is next in La Crosse. Hi, Don.
Yes, hello. How are you today?
Okay, how are you?
Live and kicking.
Good.
I had a couple of ideas, questions. I guess I wonder why so many people, Republicans, Democrats, whatever, are coming down so hard on the president for not making things better right away. I think it took 8 years plus to get us into this mess.
All right, do you have a suggestion for a show, Don?
Yeah, I want to know from people why they're so willing to turn on Obama and bring back the Republicans who pretty much got us into this mess after such a short time. That's the one thing. And the other is the other day on the news I heard government talking or military talking about going after Osama bin Laden and capturing and such. But I saw on the news that G.W. Bush signed a treaty with Pakistan saying that we wouldn't go after Osama while he's in Pakistan. And I guess I'm wondering, are we still going to try to capture him and bring him to trial? Are we just going to let him go because they signed a treaty with Pakistan?
All right. Osama bin Laden. We haven't done a show on him in a heck of a long time. Thank you, Don, very much for your call. Let's go next to Laverne in Monroe. Hi, Laverne.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Laverne.
I'd like to have a program in what's a fair way to pay taxes. There's state and federal income tax, there's sales tax, and there's property tax. They're all different. I hate the property tax. Sales tax is questionable. I like paying federal, state, and income tax. When I started farming, my tax man told me, if you don't like paying state and federal income tax, you'll never get your farm paid for. He said, all that means is you're making money. A lot of Republicans hate to pay state and federal income tax, which I think is based on ability to pay, like Roosevelt believed in. Property tax, I think that's what makes the Tea Party go, because it's not based on ability to pay. Could you get somebody to explain the difference in those tax programs?
All right, Laverne. That would be a timely show. Thanks for the suggestion. Josie from Gurnee. Hi, Josie.
Hi. I just have three quick suggestions. One would be on cartoonists, such as like comic strip cartoonists, and another one would be on poetry as a dead profession and how I'm curious as to why people are given this gift sometimes to write and you can't make any money at it. And my third one was on just kind of like I think the humor in attempting to pay for college an honest way with so much national debt, and, you know, there's a small percentage of people out there maybe who don't want to take out crazy loans that they can't promise to pay back and just want to be a responsible citizen, but you can't afford, you just simply can't afford college. And those are my three. I'll take whatever you have to say off the air.
Are you a poet, Josie?
I'm a cartoonist and a poet.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Send us some of your work. We'd like to see it.
Yeah, I'd love to. I've got a comic strip called Max and Otis.
Really?
And I draw caricatures, but, I mean, it's just, I know it's probably a small little subdivision I'm in, but, you know, it matters.
That's great. That's great. That sounds like fun. We'd like to see your work. Send us something. And I've thought about having political cartoonists on. They certainly could be part of our All Things Political discussion because they take the essence of something and distill it, and there it is, and then it's good. Cartoonists have a lot to say. And as for poetry, can't live without poetry. So thanks for the call. Let's go to Arnie on the road. Hi, Arnie.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Ernie.
Well, my suggestion would be to have somebody on that could legitimately discuss the possibility of introducing some type of legislation to outlaw all political commercials.
Oh.
I am so sick and tired of the last 2 months you cannot turn on commercial TV or radio without just constant bombardment. And I am fine with having legitimate debates like you have sponsored one of the reasons I actually gave to public radio this year. And there's just got to be a way, because I just heard on your last news at the top of the hour, they were discussing possibly all close to $600 million being spent on political ads this year. And that's just outrageous.
Yeah, it is an incredible amount of money, isn't it? Just incredible. But I don't know how you go about changing that. I don't know how you change it. How do you change it?
I don't know. That's why I'm saying there has to be some type of legislation introduced. There has to be some truth in where these ads are coming from. You don't hear about any of these groups for 4 years, and then they're on constantly, and you don't even know who they are or what they are.
Well, and this year there are more of those kinds of groups because they can do it this year without
right.
our knowing who they are or what they are. All right, Arnie. Yeah. Thank you for your suggestion. Thank
you. You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Bye. It is. I wonder if anybody's done a study of how many more ads there are this year than in previous years. It just seems like he's right. That's all we see. That's it. Maybe there were more this year. I don't know. Let's go next to Laura from New Berlin. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Kathleen. I wondered if you might be able to secure a guest from an organization I heard mentioned on BBC World Service just this past Sunday evening, just before midnight. Apparently, there's a meeting that just got underway in Nagoya, Japan, of government officials from many countries to address the dire problem of the annihilation of life on the planet at the hands of our species. And the conservation organization mentioned was International Union for the Conservation of Nature, IUCN, and their spokeswoman was Miss Smart. I wonder if she might be available or someone from that organization.
Okay, International Union for the Conservation of Nature.
That's right.
Okay, sounds good, Laura. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let's go next to Paul in Spooner. Hi, Paul.
Good morning. How are you?
Continuing on
from an earlier caller, I'm also concerned about some of these organizations that are running so many negative ads and where who they are and where their money is coming from, because they're running such a negative ad, they don't even come forth and sponsor a candidate of who they're trying to endorse. They're just basically saying this person is absolutely terrible. And this has all come up in the last few months. These new organizations, you can Google search them, and they're so new they don't even show up. So we have no way of even researching where these groups are coming from. So I think that we need to look at, if after the election's over, look at what organizations spend how much and start backtracking, find out where they are, who these people are, where the money came from, where they're stationed out of, because this is all unknown right now. They're just running an ad, and they go to the TV station. They've got lots and lots of money. And the grassroots people, we can't keep up with the mailings that they're putting out. We can't keep up with the door knockers that they've got, what's going out. And I think we need to look at how it's affecting our election this time.
All right, Paul. Good suggestion. Thank you. Willie in Madison. Hi.
Hi. I was listening to you just a bit before when Laverne called. And I was thinking, you know, I've heard calls from Laverne for over 25 years on public radio, probably before you were working there, Kathleen. He has been warning about derivatives all that time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think if we give it some thought and we see what's happened to our economy as it's gone over the cliff in the last few years, you know, for the most part, Laverne has been right, and maybe he deserves an hour to talk about what he knows about economics. I know he's not a highly educated man. I don't think that way in a formal sense, but I think he's got a lot of real good sense, and he might make a good one-hour guest. And you should give him credit. You know, I mean, he was right. The other thing I would suggest is that, is there anybody who could take up on the suggestion, a guest who could talk about, could we do it legally, and would it be possible to, like, during election times, forbid all corporate advertising, forbid purchased commercials, and have double the size of public radio and public television, nice people like you, Kathleen, and, you know, hire more people there, and allocate time to political candidates according to one system, so that they would all get plenty of media exposure through public television, public radio, different formats, but something that would give a good, you know, we could have all kinds of ideas about what would give a good presentation of all candidate political ideas, and take a lot of the big money and the media manipulator types like, well, Karl Rove is one. I'm sure Republicans will come up with somebody else equivalent on the other side. Take those kind of people out of it so that, you know, people can make more rational political choices. You know, democracy would be a good thing. We're seeing it right now in France, where the government actually is afraid of what the people are doing, marching in the streets. You know, here, I think most of our government officials have contempt for the people. So, Laverne, and then somebody to talk about doubling the size of public radio and having them be the media in the campaign season.
All right. Thank you, Willie. Thanks for the call. Catherine is next, calling us from Madison. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. This is probably going to be quick, but I want to participate in the political process, but whenever I sign up to volunteer, all they ever want me to do is canvass or cold call. And I hate getting those, and so I hate doing them. But I'd like to know, I mean, everybody seems to go on face that these are the things that you want to get your volunteers to spend time doing. I'd like to know, is there research behind this? You know, does this really, is it worth, you know, is this the best use of volunteer time, or, you know, what is effective in these campaigns?
Well, what do you want to do, Catherine?
Anything else, I'll enter data, I'll, you know, write letters, I'll host parties, I'll do anything, but not go out and knock on people's doors and disturb them in the middle of whatever. I won't, you know, at a certain point, I won't answer my phone or my door because I don't want to hear it. Because the volunteers, you know, they're not speaking. You know, all they're doing is either reminding you to vote or, you know, handing out a leaflet. And they usually can't answer my questions. I don't feel qualified to answer in-depth questions about the candidates, although I probably could handle some. I just wonder if it's actually effective, or if people just do it because that's what they do. And that's all volunteers can do. I don't know.
I think if you went to headquarters and say that you would like to enter data, that would be just fine. And if you wanted
I've said, please, is there anything? For a while, I was bringing food, okay? I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
but for the most part, what they want you to do is go knock on doors.
Right.
Or make phone calls.
Yeah. Well, you could have a party. Why couldn't you have a party?
Well, no, you know, I've said, is there anything else I can do? And all they ever come up with is these two items.
Yeah.
So I just want to know, is there real science behind it, or do people just do it on faith? And, you know, I just would like some discussion of, okay, what is the best way to make use of all the volunteers that are, you know, available and willing to kind of put time and energy in? And is this the best way? Is it really effective? And if, you know, if I'm convinced by the data, then I guess I'll suck it up and do it. But I don't want to.
I see your point, Catherine. If you want to have a party, have a party. What the heck? House parties used to be big things. They are in presidential elections to have house parties. And there's people come to eat food and talk politics, and that's a rousing good time as far as I'm concerned. I would just go ahead and do it. And invite the candidates to come. Ellen is next from Sheboygan. Hi, Ellen.
Hey. You know, I was listening to that guy yesterday you had on, and it made me want to have a show about health care in other countries and see if you can get people who've lived in France, Germany, England, Canada, what their experience was with the health care system. And maybe even doctors.
You know, we did a whole series. We did so many programs on healthcare, and we did a whole series doing just that, which I think is archived, Ellen. We looked at France and Barbados and Canada and Finland and Japan and all over the world. We did hour-long programs. But it was a good suggestion, of course, because we did it. But we have those archived. And that was a while ago. It was while we were debating healthcare reform. So it may be time to revisit that issue.
I don't know. Okay, but thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ellen. Thanks very much for the call. Ann is next in Madison. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Well, this follows the last suggestion. I was going to say that was a great healthcare comparison of various countries you did during the healthcare debate. Not that anything but money actually made any difference in the long run, but I was going to suggest that you cover the way other countries hold elections and how much money they allow candidates.
That's a good idea.
And how long the election, you know, the pre-election process is. I think in most countries, it's not more than a couple of months at the most. And, you know, not places like Mexico where corruption is, you know, pretty endemic, but some of the countries where elections actually seem to work, or maybe some countries where they don't work, and have people maybe from those countries talk about why they don't work. Because to me it seems really insulting to the American public to assume that the guy who has the most money or the gal who has the most money is automatically going to win an election. You know, I think if Democrats usually vote Democratic or Green or Independent, Republicans usually vote Republican or Libertarian. There are very few people, I think, who absolutely have no idea how they're going to vote. And the assumption of all these polls is that people go from one party to another all over the lot in a matter of days, which I think is a totally phony assumption.
Yeah, I think that's a really good suggestion for a show. That would be very interesting. Thank you, Ann.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. All Our phone number is 800-486-8655. The email address is talk. Well, you don't want to do that. What you want to do is you want to send suggestions if you can't get through. Don't do the email here, but send triple copies to all of us involved in putting together these hours. So it would be Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, Peace, P-E-A-S-E, and mine is Dunn K, and we're all at WPR.org. And we really do like to hear from you. We appreciate your involvement in the show. A reminder, this Thursday, we're taking our show to the Milwaukee Art Museum, which is absolutely gorgeous. We have two wonderful guests. Nancy Pearl will join us. Nancy's going to be, of course, with us at the Art Museum to talk about books. And we'll also be speaking with Lori Winters, who directs the special exhibitions, and she has brought some top-notch exhibitions. She's very creative. She's very artistic and a lovely person. And she'll be with us as well to talk about the special exhibits and all that you can find at the art museum. So that'll be fun, huh? And you're invited. Oh, I forgot to say you're invited. It's a live audience, so we're going to have a book art discussion, and then we'll have some snacks and talk to each other. It's this Thursday. Our show will be broadcasting from the Art Museum, and if you'd like to attend, we just want to know whether or not you'll be there. So go to WPR/WHAD and say that you would like to attend. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to Jackie next in Sun Prairie. Hi, Jackie.
Hey. Hello. Thank you for taking my call and my ideas. I think with the ongoing discussion of education, which is very broad, it ends up talking about the current national programs and that are trying to enhance education. I think maybe more specific discussions would be in order on particular disciplines, courses, subject matter areas like math, writing and reading, in English, of course, on teaching of world languages to students, maybe even talking about music and art, perhaps all in one. But there are some very interesting changes going on as far as the methods that are used, instructional methods that are used, and philosophies for that matter, in those areas. And I think it would be very interesting to see very specifically what things have been done, because it sounds like nothing's being done on a local and national level, that somehow schools and teachers are just kind of limply going along, and they're not. I mean, there's a lot of new innovative things out there going on, and I think that would be worthy of an hour each of those, because I know that there are people at the DPI who could help you out, and maybe even as far as finding somebody to speak and for themselves to speak, because the DPI has a number of consultants in curricular consultants in reading and language arts and mm-hmm. world languages and math.
Okay.
Among others.
All
so
right.
Those people are very articulate and very knowledgeable.
Thank you, Jackie, for your call. Matt in Lake Geneva, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
There are two vastly important issues that I think don't get proper coverage, and they are our hugely expensive foreign policy, where we are abroad in the world in 130 nations with our troops everywhere. And it's bankrupting. I mean, it's a $1 trillion a year drain on our public resources. And then there's the second issue, which is corporate welfare. And these tie together. You know, it's basically a transfer of trillions of dollars in public resources and benefits that generate resources for the corporate sector. And solving these two things alone have the power to help heal our economy and move us a long way towards, making progress with health care and stuff like that. But people don't really, like Democrats and Republicans, people who are focused in a partisan way, don't seem to want to take on the fact that we are all over the world in this hugely expensive foreign policy. The people who will take it on, I'll give you an example. C-SPAN had a fantastic interview with Ralph Nader and Judge Napolitano, the libertarian anchor and former Supreme Court Justice from New Jersey, interviewing each other in that format that they have on C-SPAN. And, you know, here you have this kind of progressive guy who's outside of the Democratic mainstream in Ralph Nader, and this libertarian guy who's kind of outside of the mainstream of the right wing of politics. And it seems like they would have the power to coalesce a movement of maybe one-third of the population of the United States around these two issues, but nobody deals with it.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Those are good suggestions. I've wanted to do a show on troops all over the world, too. I think that would be – we don't hear much about that, so that's a good idea, as is the other idea. Sitch is next from Madison. Is that how you pronounce your name?
Sitch?
Yeah. Hi, Sitch.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to see a show. I know there's been a lot of shows on hybrid cars and alternative energy and that kind of thing, but I don't remember there being any shows on how you can drive your current vehicle, whether it's fuel efficient or not, in a much more fuel efficient way, and how you can increase your fuel economy just by certain things to, you know, in terms of the way you accelerate and the way you turn and and that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, my car is getting absolutely fabulous gas mileage this month for some reason. It does okay usually, but this month, and I can't figure out why.
Well, there are a number of things involved, whether it's the way you're driving it or the weather or a lot of other things like that, that I think would be really, really helpful to listeners.
Yeah, you'd like to repeat when you have a good month, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's an interesting idea, Sitch. Thank you.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Deacon in Sheboygan. Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. How are you?
Great. I just wanted to let you know, first of all, that I was never able to go to higher education in my life. I ended up carrying on with family and job and everything else. But listening to Wisconsin Public Radio lets me walk around on a day-to-day basis very quietly inside myself, knowing that I am smart.
All right.
Thank you for that.
Yes, thank you.
And I got two suggestions for programs, if you could. All the trash advertising that has come out this year politically, I think all stems from that Supreme Court decision that was made recently. I would love to hear a program on the mechanics of that decision, why it came to be, what it caused, and just the whole mechanics of what it set into motion.
Okay.
I would like to hear a program on that. And secondly, I would like to hear a program on sexual identity. And what I mean is, it seems as though there are so many higher-ups and political people that are obsessed with the way other people have sex. When you think about it, having the sex deed itself takes up so few minutes in everybody's everyday life. I mean, it's such a small piece, but it seems to be obsessive to a lot of individuals, and to be frank with you, those people scare me a lot more than the way anybody chooses to have sex on this planet. And I would like to hear a program trying to explain why this has become such an obsessive thing amongst political and religious and other types of people, the way other people choose to have sex. It seems to be the most important thing in their lives. And I'm amazed, and I don't understand it.
All right, Deegan. Thank you. Two good suggestions. Thank you. Thanks for your call. Dave is next in West Salem. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I don't know that I can outdo that last one, but there were three quick things. One, we're seeing all these invasives like wild parsnip, and it creates, if people get into it, it can create pyrophotodermatitis, and we have these Ixodes invasive ticks that are spreading not only Lyme now, but we're seeing a lot of anaplasmosis, and we have a couple of mosquitoes that are moving, one that's here in Wisconsin, one that's kind of close. Things are changing so rapidly, and I know you've talked about these things before, but I think that there's, it impacts public health, and I think that would be really an interesting discussion. Another thing... you always hear these kind of bugaboos, like socialists. And yesterday I heard that, this socialist thing. And one of my favorite questions to ask folks is if they are in favor of employer-paid vacations, because that's a 1930s French socialist idea. And I like the idea of employer-paid vacations.
we need more of them. Okay.
And the last thing, and this is something that I've just spent a lot of time looking at, and it's We see a lot of these wonderful adoptions here, you know, from China and Korea and other countries. But there's been some studies at University of Wisconsin about attachment disorder. And this wonderful thing, this wonderful adoption process, and some of the problems that are created, you know, not by the adoptions, they're wonderful, but that some of the children, the difficulties they have with attachment disorders, and it's very, very sad and very difficult. I think that would be interesting, too.
Okay. Good suggestions, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. And we go to another Dave. This is David from Madison. Hi, David.
Hi. I think the thing that the most important issue that's really stayed below the radar screen, as they say, is the issue of limited future oil supplies, not oil in the ground, but oil flowing to us daily. And that has been stable for the last, plateaued for the last 4 years. And there's a real question among a wide spectrum of experts and government commissions outside of the U.S. that, in fact, oil supplies will not expand much in the future. And when they don't expand, we face a real serious problem, an imminent problem. This problem is probably in the 2 to 5 year range or 2 to 10 year range or right now range, but it's really something that's much closer than climate change. And I just attended the American Association for the Study of Peak Oil in Washington.
Oh.
And heard a great deal of testimony and a continuing dialogue by experts from all spectrums of the petroleum industry, particularly, I won't go into it, but there are professors from chairman of the Texas A&M petroleum department to economists in Washington, James Schlesinger, former energy chairman. There was a recent study by the U.S. Defense Operations Command trying to look at the operations problems in the next 10 years, and they concluded that at this point there was no potential or little potential for expanding future supplies and that we faced a deficit of 10 billion barrels a year. It's hard to get the meaning of that, but a deficit in the coming 10 years, pardon me, by 2012, not the coming 10 years. This is something really worth discussing. It's going to cause a wide-ranging changes in our life. It's coming on us, but frankly, nobody wants to stand up because the messenger is going to be slain.
Mm-hmm.
It's so volatile and such a truly dangerous issue that no politician wants to raise it because, in effect, he'll be killing jobs or giving the stock market a downward kick, but it needs to be discussed.
David, please send us, I gave you the email addresses, please send us more information about the conference. This would be right up our alley, this kind of discussion. So,
absolutely.
Just send us more. Thank you so much.
And I've got some heavyweight people from the conference to suggest.
We always like heavyweight people on the show. Thanks, David. Yeah, it'd be a good show for us. And the address is, again, to send more information to us, Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, Peace, P-E-A-S-E, Dunn-K, D-U-N-N-K, and we're all at WPR.org. George in Columbus, hi.
Yes, thank you for having me. I recently read an article in Quality Magazine, this is the September issue, by a gentleman who discussed the basics of problem solving. And it seems to me that it would be kind of useful to have somebody knowledgeable about problem solving on a general basis rather than the specific problems that come up in these different shows that you have. This man calls himself a knowledge architect. His name is Duke Oakes, O-K-E-S.
Okay.
Apparently, he either owns a company or works at Aplomet, A-P-L-O-M-E-T, in Blountville, Tennessee, and I can give you a phone number, 423-323-7576. He's also got email here if you want that.
Why don't you give us his email, yeah?
The short email is aplomet.com,
okay.
A-P-L-O-M-E-T.com. He's
okay.
Got a long one for himself.
Okay. Well, that sounds interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
All right, I do
Thank
too.
You.
Thank you, George.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Donald in Cumberland. Hi.
I have a suggestion for a program. I think it would be a good idea if we declared war against corporations. The problem being that even the Supreme Court now has tipped their hand as to the pushing and freedom of corporations that will control our voting. And the people, I'm sure, would be willing to give you everything about that.
All right, Donald.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of call for... We will do a show on this. I don't know if we should do it before the election or after the election, of how the Supreme Court decision may have influenced in this particular election cycle, and what about how difficult it is to find out who's contributing money to ads. We should do it before the election, just or after. We'll do this. We need to do this. Many of you are calling for it, and we'll do this. Well, it's an open line for the month of October, and here's how you reach us. The number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. John from Hudson is our next caller. Hey, John.
Yes, hi. I don't have anybody in particular in mind, but I think a topic that would be interesting would be land development, especially the farm fields.
Okay.
I guess, you know, you see if the talk is to get the economy back to where it was, and I guess my concern would, it would be interesting to see if there is ever, you know, like sprawl, you know, you see the developments, the starter home type, the farm fields as they go up for sale, if it could be maybe done in a different way, or it's kind of sad to see some of the land, how it changes, and I guess it'd be interesting to have a conversation on that.
On development, land development. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thanks, John. Let's go next to Tom in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I don't know who you'd have for a guest, but I think it'd be interesting to have a show on doing away with the two-party system, because we've all seen what that has done for our senators and our congressmen. If everyone had to stand on their own thoughts and ideas instead of just going in a party line.
So what would you like to have? What kind of system?
I think where basically you just elect people that you think could actually do something good for the country instead of everyone just picking one side and sticking with the friends that they've got in the system that really have no great ideas, but they back them up too, so they get support themselves.
Okay. Alternatives to the two-party system. Thank you, Tom. Cheryl is next from Black River Falls. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling today because I would like to expand on the gentleman that called earlier about, you know, saving energy or fuel energy for in your car.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be nice to maybe expand on that and also talk about how to drive safely during the winter.
Okay.
You know, driving slower, you know, and giving more time and, you know, things like that.
Okay. Are you worried?
I see a lot of it on the road, and I just, it'd be nice if people were just refresh their memories on how
to drive. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much, Cheryl.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Bye. Steve in Madison. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. We have in Madison this week a retired Army Colonel Ann Wright, who is active in a group called Voices of Conscience, and she will be speaking on campus Thursday evening. And she would be a really good guest, I think, to have on Wisconsin Public Radio also. And a small item from her bio says that she was active war experience critic of U.S. policy from Iraq to Afghanistan, and most recently participated in the Gaza Freedom Flotilla attacked by Israeli international waters last spring. On Wisconsin Public Radio, we seldom ever hear of anything of Gaza, of the Palestinian troubles, of the settlements in the occupied territories. I think Ann Wright would be a really good person to speak to that topic, and she is in town this week. And if you need to contact her, I'm sure you can go through the Haven Center at the university.
The Haven Center?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye. Pat is next from Oconomowoc. Hi, Pat.
Yes, hello. I'd like to hear you discuss the cost of security to our country, and this would, you know, include homeland security, federal level, state level, even local level. We have to put so much money in making people secure. And when you talk about wanting to cut taxes or keep government out of our lives, that doesn't mesh. We spend so much. We were just at the St. Louis Arch last week, and there were four people scanning, and they needed equipment. So we're paying salaries, benefits, equipment, just to keep people safe there. That's only one instance.
Okay. All right, Pat. Thank you.
Thank you.
Heather is next from Brookston, Minnesota. Hi, Heather.
Hi there. Someone mentioned attachment disorder and having it, how it has to do with children who may be adopted from other countries. Well, of course, it does also affect children within our own country. But about 5 or 6 years ago, I'm 60 years old, I went to a workshop, and unfortunately I can't remember the name of the people. I'm sure there are plenty of specialists in it. It affects every person, no matter how old or how young they are, if they were adopted, whether they were adopted at 6 days old or 6 months old or 6 years old, whatever. And in my 50s, I discovered at that workshop how much it opened my eyes to how much it really affected my life, and it's really helped me a lot, even in my 50s. So I think that might be something someone that really knows a lot about attachment disorder could really open that door.
Okay, Gail, or Heather, rather. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Let's go to Gail next from Madison. Hi, Gail.
Hi there. I would like to see us begin a dialogue about equating free speech with money and how that has come about, how that perception has come about, because I think that that's very dangerous. It's like saying those who have lots of money have a lot more speech, and the recent Supreme Court decision allowing all the corporate money and all that without any kind of stating where it's coming from, I find that very troublesome. And if money was not equated with free speech, then maybe that wouldn't happen. But I don't have any suggestion for who to call about it.
All right, Gail. Well, that can be part of our job.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Gail.
Bye.
Let's go to Jason from Milwaukee. Hi, Jason.
Hi. Thank you. I'd love to hear a show on socialism, especially the history of it. I mean, like in politics, socialism is a dirty, dirty word now. And I think Wisconsin has a strong history of socialism, and especially the city of Milwaukee, I think, is the only city in the nation to have three socialist mayors in its past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Milwaukee has a strong socialist history. All right.
Yeah, all righty.
Okay,
thank
thanks, Jason. Uh-huh. Bye. Linda is next from Delavan. Hi, Linda.
Okay, hi. You're going to think I'm nuts, but...
No, I won't.
I had this weird experience with a friend the other day who's in law enforcement. She was telling me about when she was a kid how she used to see a person walk up the stairs, like, you know, a dead person. And it was just, and it just made me think about people who've had weird experiences like that. But she never wanted to tell anyone because she said they'd think I was crazy. But I bet a lot, you know, I have some weird stories like that too, and I bet other people do it. I would like to hear them.
Stories of dead people walking up the stairs.
Ever seen something you thought was a ghost or just weird synchronicities that happen? I don't know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. All right. I see what you're saying. Sure. What was I reading about? Somebody on the Truman houses in Independence, and one of them is supposedly haunted, that everybody who's lived there has seen a ghost of some kind. Where did I see that? I can't remember.
Yeah.
I'd only want friendly dead people to come and talk to me. I wouldn't want to be frightened by them. You know, I'd certainly like to see my parents and have them come and visit me.
Right.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Can you invite certain people you would like to see? I don't know. All right. I see what you're saying. Thank you, Linda.
All right. Thank you.
And let's go next to Dennis from Waterford. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. How are you?
All right, Dennis. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I just wanted to see if we could touch base on... like a time management deal, I believe that everybody now are so busy with their jobs and the long hours, and both the spouse and the husband, their boyfriend, girlfriend, are working so many hours that we don't have time to even get involved in anything or manage our money. And I just think a time issue, you know, with everybody working 10, 11 hours nowadays, I think it'd be interesting to find out some input on how we can actually manage our life with the short amount of time we have in it.
Okay. It's a good suggestion. Thank you, Dennis.
I have a theory I call divide and conquer. I feel that they've got everybody working so much and so busy that we can't get involved in the government issues or anything like that. So I just go back to Napoleon, divide and conquer, and they've got us all split up so we can, you know, actually as a group address some of the issues and stuff that people are talking about every day. Hmm. I just find that's a problem.
Hmm. We can't chew the fat on the front porch and make bread, et cetera.
That's it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Thank you, Dennis.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye. Time management. That would be kind of fun. I always like those things of how many minutes you have. If you're lucky to live a fairly long time, how many minutes you have in your life and how many minutes in a day and what you do with it. Sometimes it increases the pressure to do something wonderful, doesn't it? But it's interesting to look at the amount of time that we have and what we do with it. All right, Rick from Wauwatosa. Hi. Hey, Rick, are you there?
Waukesha.
Oh, I'm sorry, Waukesha. I misread that. Hi, Rick from Waukesha.
You know, I'd really like to see somebody discuss the idea of tenure in taxpayer jobs, you know, in politics and in schools and things like that. Seems like another welfare program. You can't fire these people for total incompetence.
You think there are a lot of people like that who are totally incompetent?
Absolutely.
Why? What makes you think that?
Well, I don't know. I keep hearing the words, we can't let them go or we can't do anything about it because they have tenure.
Mm-hmm.
I hear this a lot in the school districts, and I hear it a lot in Washington. Matter of fact, it was used when they were investigating the assistant attorney generals or whatever it was, that they couldn't replace the people that were put in there because they had tenure.
All right, so you would like to do away with tenure completely?
Yeah. Let them keep their job or lose it based on their performance, not on a word.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. It'd be interesting to do a show on the history of tenure and who has tenure and why it's there and should it be there. It'd be good. Thanks, Rick, very much for your call. Stan in Lake Mills. Hi.
Hi. I would like to suggest a subject on bicycle safety or cars, bicycle safety. Recently, Jeff Littman, the president of the Wisconsin Bike Federation, was killed in a bicycle car accident.
Very sad.
And it's been a long, tough road where cars don't always have a high tolerance for bicycles on the road. And also, bicyclists have some bicyclists will tend to take up more space than they require. And we just need to have some subject of teaching some sort of tolerance between the two so that it's not as dangerous as it sometimes gets.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Everybody's got driving and safety on the road on their minds today, which is a good thing. One more phone call. Hi, Warren.
Hi. I'm a truck driver, and there's a new program that is coming out in November by the DOT. It's called CSA 2010 Initiative for Truck Drivers, and it's going to affect everybody, and especially in the pocketbook. And the general public probably hasn't heard about it at all, and it might be interesting to find out and get somebody in here to explain how this could affect everybody.
Okay. It's called CSA 210.
2010, yes.
2010. Thank you. Thanks, Warren, for the call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
If you didn't have a chance to get through, please send us emails and we'll look at them. It was a good open line. We have some valuable suggestions, I think. Our email addresses are to send them to all three of us so that we can deliberate, which we'll be doing after this show. Here's how you reach us. It's Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, and then Peace, P-E-A-S-E, and I'm Dunk, D-U-N-N-K, at, we're all at WPR.org, so send us your suggestions, and we'll be happy to look at them. We're going to Washington, D.C. This is a relatively new announcement that I want to tell you. We've only mentioned it a couple times. March 30th through April 5, we're going to Washington, D.C. and also to Gettysburg. We took this very successful trip to Springfield to celebrate Abe Lincoln's 200th birthday. And everybody said, let's do another trip. And they wanted to go to Washington. So we said, okay. So we're going to Washington. It's March 30th through April 5th, spring of this coming year. And it should be just a terrific, terrific few days. We're going to travel together via bus. We're going to do a live broadcast from the NPR studios in Washington, D.C., which will be great fun. We're going to Mount Vernon. We're going to Gettysburg. We're going to have an elegant dinner cruise down the Potomac River. So if you would like to join us, or if you want some more information, please call Katie Madsen here at WPR. 414-227-2047, 227-2047. Thanks for listening.